to 14. John to 14. Children's church up to 5th grade. Up to 5th grade, children's church, go out with these two good-looking people right here. They have some chains and handcuffs and ropes back there. They call it children's church. And if they can't straighten you out, you're dead. Joshua chapter 14, I'm going to preach an unusual Father's Day message today, so I need your attention. And but before I get to that, I wanted to let you know tonight's sermon, probably the most important that children, teens, and young people will ever hear. That's Joshua 14. Our society is being attacked, our families, difference between male and female. It may save some of you children from a lot of heartache if you come back and hear what the Word says about tonight. I'm going to teach on how to celebrate the differences in our sexes. You know, God made you the way you are, and you are either a man or a woman, and we can celebrate that. We don't have to celebrate perversion. We can celebrate truth. Amen. And tonight I want you to come and hear what you won't hear on TV or radio or the internet and or movies. Or matter of fact, all those are the opposite of what the Bible's going to tell you. I'm not going to beat you up, okay? I'm going to help you. And so you won't be confused. A lady came here not long ago, and she said, pray for my daughter. She's 13, and now she's been convinced that she's a boy. And she's changed her name and all this stuff, and I can't do a thing with her. I said, well, that's the devil. That's the devil. And tonight I want to help you on that. All you people, everybody, I want to help you, okay? The Bible will help you. But if you're in Joshua 14, I'm going to preach out of there. It's about Joshua. But in honor of Father's Day, I'm going to read, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read Leviticus 19:32 says this, in honor of you fathers. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. That's the Lord telling you young people to honor gray-headed people. Amen. White-headed people, honor them. Took us a long time to get here. Amen. And you don't know what we know. And then in Job chapter 32, verse 6 says, Elihu and Barachula and the Bezite answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid and dost not show you mine opinion. In other words, he looked at an older man and he said, I didn't say what I thought because you're an older man and you probably got more wisdom than I've ever known. And so young people, I want you to look, today's culture, old is looked down on, but I got news for you. This is where the wisdom of the ages is, right here. That's where it's at. And so I want to teach you this morning about something I think will help you along those lines. Joshua chapter 14, start with verse 5, if you will. Chapter 14, verse 5. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. By the way, the Anakims were giants. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Kenaz, and unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Now, every person in this room needs to read that. Every young person needs to read that with the verses I gave you. Here's a man said 40 years ago, I got promised this. Listen to me. God made me a promise. And now I'm 85 years old. And I'm here to claim that promise he gave me. Every young person in this country should be taught respect for the older generations. Amen. Now, this is respect for people who've been here longer than you have. And they've been down the road you're going down and came back up. Thank God they made it back. Amen. A lot of them came back from destruction itself. Especially you ought to respect a godly father. They're as rare as hen's teeth. Some of you Yankees don't know what that is. Look it up in the dictionary. They're as rare as hen's teeth. You can't only find a godly father anymore. Amen? Now, I never had a father. I never knew him. Don't know his name. But I'll tell you one thing. If I had one, I'd have respected him. And if he was a godly man, I would have honored him. Amen? It would have saved me a lot of heartache. Would have saved me a lot of disappointment. Now, Caleb said, 85 years old, I still feel like I'm 40. That's what he said. He said, I've got the same strength as when I was 40 years old. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I wake up in the morning after I finally get up on, you know, there's two kinds of people. I'm the latter. One gets up and says, good morning, Lord. And the other one gets up and says, good Lord, this morning. And I drag myself out of that bed and I go take a shower. But after I get that shower, I walk over in front of that mirror. I say, what a man. And I'm from Lancaster. We have to do that redneck. Mess with me. Amen. Amen. And sometimes I do feel like I'm 40, but not early in the morning. I don't. Amen. Amen. But he said, I still feel like I'm 40 years. 40 years ago, he said, I'll take that mountain. He says, God, through Moses, promised us that we could have this land. He said, I was there at Kadesh Barnea when the 12 spies went out, and I was one of them, and that was 40 years ago. And he said, I'm the one that went out, Joshua and Caleb. We went out, and we came back with a good report, and the other 10 were naysayers. They said, we can't do it. There's giants in the land. He said, now, I've known we could do it from the very beginning, and I still want to do it, and if you'll give it to me, I'll take that stinking mountain. I still believe the greatest military in the world would be if they'd call men over 40. Amen. Amen. The younger ones, they got to brainwash them and push them and threaten them. The older men say, give me that gun. I'll whoop that guy. Yeah, give me that gun. I'll blow them all up. By the way, I said it in Sunday school this morning. You don't have to worry about terrorists and Muslim terrorists and all that in South Carolina. We got enough fireworks to blow them up. Amen. That's why they don't bother us. Our fireworks is bigger than their weapons. Amen. What did July the 4th? I raised my kids in Rock Hill Homes, and every July the 4th, I thought we was in the Vietnam War in the Mekong Delta. Man, a cloud of smoke about that high hanging off the street, about 6 foot thick. And people, I said, we're going to blow up the world. Give me some more fireworks. Amen. He said, but with God's help, I'll drive those giants out. If God will help me, I'll do just like I would have done that day when the rest of them backed down. So Joshua blessed him and he gave it to him, and he gave it to his children's children, and his children's children, and they've owned it ever since. Because one man, at 85 years old, decided he'd trust God and do what God told him to do. He didn't look at his age. He didn't look at his age. My goodness. Now, there's a lot of people running around our churches and our country today that they think they have all the answers and all the fathers and grandfathers are no longer relevant. Well, I've got news for you. The smartest people in your church are those old people. Amen. And they are relevant. And by the way, they'll be there when you're gone. Those kind of people don't last long. They're just flashes in the night. They come on the scene. They go off the scene. They got newer and better and bigger ideas. And if you ever notice, that costs a lot of money. They got newer and bigger and better ideas. And old grandpa's sitting over there and says, I've seen three or four of you come and go. It ain't going to work. I'll just sit here and shut my mouth because you ain't going to listen to me anyway. Amen? And that's happening all over the country. And look, I've been preaching since 1981. And I was licensed in 82, ordained in 83, and I've seen a lot of these 18, 19, 20-year-old flash-in-the-pan little old preachers come in, and they make a big racket, and there's a lot of professions, but a year later, you couldn't find them or their professions with a microscope. Because, see, they didn't count on the older people and the older preachers and getting advice and things like that. And I'd rather have a small, slow-growing, New Testament-built Baptist church than to have one of those that grows so big overnight and two or three years from now they sell their property because they ain't able to keep what they brought in. Amen? I'd rather have a nation that slowly but surely follows the Lord and the law. I'd rather have a business that slowly but surely follows the Lord and the law and listen, takes advice from people that's been there before. Amen? A sure way to ruin your family is not take advice from an older man that's got a family. Yeah. A sure way to ruin your business is not take advice from older men that's been in the business before. Amen? Amen. And Caleb worked on being faithful for 40 years. Why wouldn't you take his advice? He worked on being faithful for 40 years. And so some get a formal education. I thought about this. They go to college. They go to university. They go to the cemetery. And some get an informal education over the years. They work hard and they learn as they go. And that's usually the best education, is working hard and learning as you go. Amen. I'll never forget when I was 17, I got a job at the Lancaster Printing and Finishing Company. That could be one reason they're out of business now. But I got a job there. And they set us in a class for the dye house. They set us in a class for 6 weeks. And this guy taught us every part of a dye machine. Those machines are 600 feet long. And they taught us every part, every bearing, every roller, every tub, everything about the dye, everything about the chemicals and the rinsing and the drying and the folding, all that stuff for 6 whole weeks, 8 hours a day. We learned it. I could pass the test. I knew every part of that machine. And on the 7th week, they stuck me on the front of one of those machines. And I said, what do I do now? I had absolutely no idea about what the cloth was supposed to be like. I didn't have any idea about what I was supposed to be doing on the front or in the back or in the middle. And I just stood there and looked at that thing. And this older fellow come from the machine beside me. He said, boy, they didn't teach you in that class what you're supposed to do, did they? I said, no. He says, pretty simply, he told me what to do, and I did it. But the point is, some people learn slowly and surely by hard work and by experience. Now, I'm not against education. My wife's got a master's degree. My daughters have master's degrees. I'm the dumbest one in the house. But I'm not against education. But did you know if you don't get it from somebody that's done it, it's not going to be a very good education. That's what's wrong with our seminaries today. They're full of people teaching preachers how to do it, and that teacher ain't never done it. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. Amen. That's what's wrong with a lot of our pulpits. They're filled with men teaching people how to do it, and they've never done it. Amen. Amen. Now, they're just flashes in the night. Just flashes in the night. They come, they're loud, they look real good, and they disappear. They won't be around 5 or 10 years from now, and you can't build anything on that. And it's the same way in the business world, and it's the same way in politics, and it's the same. By the way, a lot of these new politicians making all this noise on TV, 10 years from now, they won't even be around. Yeah. And same way in the home. It's the same way in the home. Raising children is long, slow, hard work. If you don't believe that, you ain't never had one. And God didn't give me any boys because He knew I'd think they were bad as I was when I was a boy, and I'd kill them. I'd look at him, I'd say, boy, I know what you're thinking. I used to be just like you. You're a dead man. A boy couldn't have lived under me. I look at my daughters and I say, do something with this girl. I ain't never been a girl. Amen. But it's long, slow. Listen, fathers, you're not going to be a success in the beginning. You're going to need some advice. I hope you got a good father to give you some, because I made a lot of mistakes. Now, look, the same way in all of life, America was built by godly, hard-working people. And by the way, I still believe the majority of Americans are godly, hard-working people. They don't make the TV news. They don't make the newspaper. They go to work every day. They do their job. They come home. They raise their families. They keep their mouths shut, and they show up at the voting booth and make the difference. Amen. Amen. Just because they carry a red, white, a red, green, yellow, blue, rainbow flag, that doesn't make all of America like that. It makes that one nut like that. Amen. Amen. I better get back to my preaching. Amen. Look, we stood for what was right. We stood against wrong. We worked hard. We learned what we learned over a period of a long time and many years. And we learned sometimes the wrong way, and sometimes we learned the right way. And most of my learning was by mistakes. Amen. It's time those people stood up. I mean, stood up to the younger generation. We need to stand up to them and say, look, there are no shortcuts. You need to quit trying this stuff. It don't work. It's been tried before, and you think you're the only ones ever thought of this. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. All this stuff's been thought of before and tried before, and you need to listen to your gray-haired old daddy. Or in some of your cases, not so much gray-haired old daddy. Or in some of us, a lot of combed over gray hair. Old daddy. Now, here's the formula for success in being a father, just like anything else. Number one, you got to stay optimistic. Look at verse 10 and 11. Look in chapter 14. Look at verse 10 and 11. And now behold, the Lord had kept me alive. Hallelujah. A lot of them didn't make it this far, folks. The Lord had kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, as yet, right now, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now that's pretty optimistic for an 85-year-old man to stand up and say, look here, the Lord's kept me alive, and I'm just as strong now as I was 40 years ago. Don't you think that's pretty optimistic? Now, I don't think that he didn't get up on the side of the bed and say, Lord, help, every morning. You know, I think maybe he did. Maybe he did have some. We wouldn't lie and say, well, this arthritis doesn't bother me and all this stuff. But most of us would say, hey, if it's the Lord's will, I can do all things. Amen. I can do all things if it's the Lord's will. Amen. I mean, I believe I could be a brain surgeon. Is there any volunteers for me to check that out? But what to say? God has kept me alive since I was 45 years old, and today is my 85th birthday, and I'm just as strong now as I was that day. Sometimes young men, they come around. We got a couple boys in here to learn that bumps him. I know, you think that you can whoop everybody in here, but I got news for you. I got news for you. You got to have some wisdom to go with the fist.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to know when to duck and when to pucker.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Right. Amen? Amen? Watch out, Brother Ed Taylor is 81. He might could whoop you. Because he's smarter than you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, if I'm going to fight somebody, I'm going to pick a younger man. I am. You say, but I got more strength. Yeah, but I got more sense. I got more experience. Amen. I've been beat before. I know how to avoid it. He ain't never been beat. He's going to be surprised. Amen. And so you got to be, look, if you're going to be a good father, good mother, good anything, you got to be optimistic. Boy, the worst people in church, they come in and I say, boy, ain't it a beautiful day? Yeah, but it's so hot. And I said, well, let's compare it to February when you said, yeah, but it's so cold. Or they'll come in and I say, man, ain't it a beautiful day, sunshine? Yeah, but it's probably going to rain after a while. You know, the weatherman ain't never right. You know, shut up. You're not going to get anywhere. Don't nobody want to be around you. I always said there's some people, they can put a black ring around any silver cloud you got. Amen?
Yeah.
And but you got to say, if you look at your kids and say, you ain't never going to turn out to be nothing. You know what they're going to turn out to be?
Yeah.
Unless God gets in on it, they're going to be nothing.
Yeah.
That's right. You look at your kids and they say, well, I want to do this. I want to play basketball. And you look at them and say, you ain't never going to play basketball. You ain't but 3 foot tall. Well, somebody forgot to tell Bugsy that. He's about 4 foot tall. He go 20 their legs. Amen. Look, you got to be optimistic. I have the greatest daughters in the world. If you don't believe it, ask me. I'll tell you that. You say they don't have any faults? I'm sure they do, but I'm optimistic. I'm sure they'll outlive their faults. Yes. You look at me and say, matter of fact, one of the former pastors from here sent word over here by a man that I know and a good friend of mine. I'm not going to call his name because you might not like it. But he said, Preacher so-and-so says, he hopes you can do something with that place over there because can't nobody else. I said, that's why he didn't do anything. Amen. That's why he didn't do anything. He wasn't optimistic. We'll look at these smallest children in there and say, that'll be the greatest missionary in the world.
Yes.
Amen. That boy back young, though he talks like a Yankee, he can be the greatest preacher in the world right there. I don't understand half what he says, but if you... If he goes to Illinois or Chicago or somewhere, they might. But America and families and homes are built by people who are optimistic.
Right, right.
Now, you take any grandma, she's always optimistic. Yeah, grandma's always optimistic. This guy will rob a bank, kill 3 people, wreck a police car, steal a police car and wreck it, and they'll catch him, and the reporter will come up to grandma and say, what do you think about your grandson? And she'll say, he's a good boy. Am I telling the truth? He always was a good boy. She's optimistic. He'll do well in jail. Amen. But if you think you're going to be a failure in your family's going to fail. And by the way, men, listen to me, it's Father's Day. You're the head of that house. I know your wife says she's the neck and it can't turn without her. But I'll tell you this, God will look at you, men, and judge you by how you handled the family that he gave you. I better go on, I can tell that hit one right there. Did you know Century Magazine says this, that men's most fruitful years are not 18 to 30. Now, that's their physically strongest years, 18 to 30. But their most productive years are 50, 60, 70, and 80. That's when they produce the most in business and other affairs. Because now they have the wisdom. They have the wisdom. Now, I didn't say that. Century Magazine did. You know what we got to stop doing? Catering to youth. They didn't cater to us when I was growing up. It's summertime. Mama would wake us up. She'd feed us breakfast. She'd say, now there's the screen door. And you're going at it. I'm going to lock it. And I'm cleaning up the house. And you better not come back in this house till I call you. She didn't bring us a bottle of water. We drank out of the hose pipe. For you northerners, that means garden hose. Jeffrey said he works out there at the dumpsters, you know, retired, and said this woman come up and said, where do I put this hose pipe? And he said, I thought pipe. Some kind of pipe. He said, there's a big dumpster over there for big plastic pipes and metal pipes. She said, no, a hose pipe. He said, let me see. And he walked over there. He said, oh, you mean a garden hose. Mama never did come out there and say, here's your bottle of refined filtered water. She said, there's the spigot. There's the water hose. Get you a drink of water. Don't come in my house. She didn't bring us any cookies or prepackaged peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Glory to God. Now we know why they're all dying. Amen. Amen. We shouldn't cater to youth. Youth ought to cater to the older. Amen. The younger ought to come in and say, Daddy, what can I do for you today? Amen. Daddy, let me get you a glass of tea. They ever do that? You'd have a heart attack if they did that. They ought to cater to us. We're the ones that bought the food. We're the ones that paid the bills, kept the electricity on, put a roof over their head, clothes on their back. Amen? Boy, it's got quiet on that one. Y'all, are you scared of them? Look, I'm not fighting them. We'll not fight against them. I'm not fighting youth. The greatest potential in this room today is youth. They're alive. They're energetic. They're excited about life. They enjoy life. They just need a father's guidance.
Amen.
The Bible says if a child's left unto himself, he'll always go wrong. I didn't have a father. I got in a lot of trouble. Now, I'm glad there's some here to learn and to grow. There are some young people that want to grow and they want to learn. But if you let them be wrapped up in today's technology and TV and Facebook and Twitter and Ditter and all everything else, they're not going to be interested in you telling them what to do. They got a whole crowd out there to tell them what to do. And the crowd tell them don't even know what to do. I'm not fighting with them. I'm just saying, look, we need... Look, adults 30 years and older, and I hate to tell you, but if you don't reach out, they're going to put you in the pasture one day. The nursing homes are full of people that their kids sold the farm out from under them, and now they're over at a nursing home. The kids took that money and bought them a $500,000 house. Amen. Now we don't cater. Look, if kids run your house, it's going to fail. They don't have enough, can I say it in plain South Carolina English? They don't have enough sense to run our house. I told them, I've looked at kids before and I said, boy, you ain't got enough sense to be telling me what to do. I'm not fighting them, I just want to put them in their place. But youth has taken over America. Remember, Deuteronomy 34 verse 7 says, that Moses was still going as a youth at 120 years old. Now they're going to put the headstone on my mama's grave tomorrow, I think. She lived to be 99 and a half. I never had a daddy, but when I was younger, I didn't know I should, but as I got older, I learned to respect my mother's wisdom. Born on the mill hill, raised on the mill hill in Lancaster, worked in the cotton mill all her life, retired at 60 because she thought she wouldn't live long enough to get Social Security, and lived 99 and a half. And I didn't put her out the pasture.
We kept her at home as long as I could afford it, my brother could afford it, and keep somebody there with her. We kept her at home until the doctor demanded that she must go in the nursing home. And we thought she'd live a week or two. I mean, it was bad. We thought she'd live a week or two. And she ended up living, what, over two years longer, and got better. Now, Moses was 120 and still going. Listen to me, folks, listen. Youth has its energy, but age has its wisdom.
Amen. Here's what you need to do. Cater to the older people, and you'll get good advice. You young people, listen to me. If you want advice, you want to cater to somebody, take daddy a glass of tea and sit down and talk to him and ask him for advice. You don't have enough learning or experience to give him advice unless you're older than he is. Amen, Brother Ron? If you're letting children run your house is awful. I'll go ahead and tell you that. Your house is awful if you're letting your children run it. Or your grandchildren. Some of you raising grandchildren. And the reason you raised the grandchildren, what went wrong with the first one? See what I'm saying? And if you make the same mistakes with the second one, it's going to happen again. Don't get quiet on me now. We need to cater to the old people. They'll go longer. You know what the first thing these young preachers do now? They start working at getting rid of senior citizens in their church. Because they don't want to dance at church. And they don't want rolling smoke on the stage. And they don't want flashing lights. They remember when God came down. You didn't need all that fake stuff. They remember when God visited their worship service, not some celebrity. But those young preachers start getting rid of those older folks, and guess what happens 10 years down the road? They can't pay their bills. Because number one, young people just learn how to spend money, and number two, they don't do it very well, and church is going to be last on their list. But adults 30 and older, listen, if we don't watch out, they'll put us out the pasture. I'm sick and tired of our churches, our homes copying this distorted, deceived idea that new is better. It is not. Everything's new and improved. The new Coke does not taste like the old Coke. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. I don't even like Coke, but I'll tell you that, okay? I mean, I can drink it in a pinch. If I can't get Pepsi, I get some syrup. The old Dr. Pepper is not like the new Dr. Pepper. You remember when you drank Dr. Pepper, it'd make your nerves tingle right there? You remember that? It's so strong. It would. Do anybody remember? It make your ears. Some of y'all ain't old enough to remember that. You've been drinking fake so long, you don't even know what I'm talking about. I have the trick of believing everyone I talk to is as old as myself. Here's the way you stay young. Treat everybody like you'd like to be treated. I'm not talking about some old. You know. We're not doing that. No, can't do that. No. I'm talking about just treat everybody, young or old, like you'd like to be treated when you were young or old, and you'll never get old mentally. Now, if you sit around and you think, well, I'm too old, I can't do nothing, I ain't never going to do nothing else, you won't do anything else. And young people don't want to be around you. But if you get like me and you get crazy like they are every once in a while, they'll like you. What you need to do is say like Caleb, I'm 85, but I can whip any of you whippersnappers. Right. You need to keep on thinking, I can do this. I can take that mountain. I can defeat those giants. And just as well as any young person can. Right. When I first was called to preach, surrendered to preach in 81, and then I was licensed in 82. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea. I wasn't raised in church. I'd never known but one pastor, that boy Falkenberry. And when I walked up to him and asked him what to do when I surrendered to preach, he said, he hung me out to dry. And I made a lot of mistakes. But now I look back on it, I think, well, guess what? I made mistakes because I was trying to do it myself. If I'd had a father or a grandfather, godly type, I'd have made a lot less mistakes. I know it's 5 minutes after the Methodist already standing in line out there at the buffet. Look, you older folks, listen to me. You younger too. You're going to be old one day, whether you believe it or not. If God lets you live long enough, you're going to be old too. You ought to pray to get old. Amen? Because it sure beats the other. Amen? Here's what you need to do if you're going to be a success as a father or anything else. Don't ever plan to retire. Don't plan to retire. There's some people live for a handicap sticker. Amen. I'm going to fight it long as I can. Sister Hazel's got one. She parked at the top of the hill and walked down with a bad hip. Don't ever plan to retire. Did you know there's no retirement in fatherhood? Well, I raised them. You never finish raising them. I get a lot of amens off of that. You don't do much in life or for yourself or anybody else if that's all you live for is to quit. You know the worst employee that I worked with, the one that watched the clock? Amen. He came to work watching the clock. Amen. He came to work to quit. Amen. Amen. A lot of Christians, they get saved to quit is what they do. Now what you need to do is you just need to decide, I'm not going to quit. At 85, he said, I can take that mountain. Over 100 years old, Moses was still going. And if I die, I'm going to die running. I'm not going to rust out. I'll run out. Amen? So listen to me. The worst thing any man can buy, I know you're going to get mad at me now. It's not a Ford. Though that is bad. It's not a Chevrolet. Though it's only good for 100,000 miles. The worst thing any man can ever buy is a lazy boy. I smell wood burning right now. People mad at me. You say, well, I'm retired. I'm going to get me a lazy boy. And you lay back in that thing that wraps its arms around you. And your wife has to threaten to leave you to get you to take out the trash. Don't retire. I got rid of that thing. Went and got me a hard chair. It ain't hard as some, but here's something else. Fathers, if you're going to be a good father, you need to take care of yourself. What good is it if you tell your youngin' not to drink liquor and you drink liquor? What good is it if you tell them not to smoke and you smoke? What good is it if you tell them don't smoke pot and they about to sell down on every corner now if you smoke pot? What good is it if you don't take care of yourself and you tell them they need to take care of themselves? Look, if you're going to be a good father, you need to take care of yourself. There's some people depending on you. Our body's supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know it's appointed unto man wants to die, but you can lengthen or shorten your days on earth. I mean, there's even commandment with promise on that. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days on earth shall be what? If you're a rebel, you ain't going to live long. It's appointed, but you know, you can shorten it. A lot of people do it by just sitting down and never getting back up. A lot of people doing it by drink and drugs or some just eating themselves to death. Yeah. All these are addictions. And they shorten their life. Your family needs you. And by the way, your church needs you. Amen. Have you noticed we got an old man leading the singing? He leads the choir and leads the singing. Say amen right there. Old man. Right there. The only reason is he's here. He comes from a Methodist preacher's family. That's the only reason he's still alive. Amen. Amen. I can't get many amens out of him. I still hadn't taught him that. Now, listen, and I'm about through. I got to think about fathers. The average father is washed up by 40 years old.
really. I mean, his fatherhood and him being what he ought to be with his family is done. The average father now, I'm not talking about when we came up, but now by 40, they're done. Did you know you never get retired from being a parent? You know, you still have something to teach those children. Long as you live, you've got something to teach them. Long as you live, you have guidance. And by the way, God's going to hold you accountable for that. Look here, we're supposed to be building another generation. Look at the mess the ones before us made. And we're supposed to be building another generation. And you can't be an absentee father and do that.
That's right.
And by the way, I used to preach a lot at the York County Detention Center. And men would come in there and I'd say, what are you doing here? They'd say, child support. I said, you mean child non-support. It takes a pretty low man to father children and won't support them. Amen? Amen. Now, we're supposed to be staying in the battle. We're not supposed to run away, and a lot of them running away, and we're supposed to stay in the battle like he did. And you said, you just don't understand my family and how hard it is with my children. Well, you can take that mountain. Let me tell you, if we'll stay busy for God like Caleb said, he said, I want this mountain. I'm going as strong now as I was when I was 45 years old. I can still go to war. And it said of Moses that his eyesight hadn't dimmed, nor his strength abated. He stayed busy for God, and he kept on going. And guess what? Our children and our grandchildren need fathers and grandfathers that refuse to quit, refuse to compromise, refuse to back down. They'll stand the right way and stand their ground. If mama gets mad, that's fine. If the youngins get mad, that's fine. And they'll stand up and say, look, I'm going to be held accountable to a holy God for the way I'm doing this family, and I'm going to do it. I'm not giving up, and I'm not giving in. I'm not compromising. I wish I'd had a father stood up to me like that when I was 16 years old. I knew everything when I was 16. If you didn't believe it, you just asked me. I'd have told you I knew everything. And I'd run off 3 or 4 days at the time, be missing. Mama wouldn't even know where I was at. We didn't have cell phones and all that junk. What show up 3 days later? Worried her to death. I wish I'd had a father to meet me at the door and say, boy, I'm going to tan your hide. Yeah. I'm going to lock you in your stinking room. You'll never do that again. If you do, you'll do it. When you get back, you'll be a dead man. Yeah. I wish I'd had a daddy like that. It would have saved me and my mama a lot of heartache. And everything I've learned about discipline and godly living, I would have learned it a whole lot earlier, and God wouldn't have had to work so hard on me after I got saved. Thank God for good fathers. Our children, grandchildren need somebody to lead them. We need to stay busy. We don't need to be living selfishly. We need to be living for them. We ain't got much time left. We need to install it in them. And the formula is this. If you want to be successful, stay at it. I was taking arthritis medicine. Worst thing I ever did. I'd wake up, my hands be all swollen, they still are. But I started taking that medicine, I thought, boy, this is going to be good. My hands stopped hurting, but then my eyesight started getting bad. And then my heart was fluttering. I was having shortness of breath. I looked it up on the internet. That dumb doctor didn't do it, so I had to do it. I looked up on the internet, and it said, may cause shortness of breath, heart palpitations, and dizziness, and bad eyesight. I'll just get up with hurting hands. Amen. I'm not going to quit. Now listen, Daddy, listen. It's easy to birth a child. It's hard to raise one. But I want my children. I want to leave them something besides heartache and pain. And when I leave this world,